Welcome back to the Live Out Loud podcast. My name is Aaliyah, and I'm so excited that you are here. So I feel like I start just about every episode with, this is a highly requested topic, but I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this up. The last Q&A I did on my Instagram asking what episode topics you wanted to hear from me, this was half, if not more, of the responses was this topic. And it was getting out of a spiritual funk when you feel like you've drifted away and you've fallen away and you're not as close to the Lord anymore, or when you feel like you're in a spiritual dry season. And honestly, at first, I didn't want to talk about this. And I was like, Lord, why don't I want to talk about this? I think I, more than anyone I know for myself, have walked through this, have, you know, shared in different difficulties I've been having. And so I'm like, why don't I want to talk about this? And I think I realized it's because the majority of the messages that we hear surrounding this topic, at least I can say my personal experience, are one of two things. Number one, they either can be kind of condemning and shaming upon the listener. It's not actually encouragement. It sort of makes you feel embarrassed to be in a space with the Lord where you feel far, or you feel like you've drifted. And that's not really what anyone wants to hear. And I'm not necessarily saying that people need to be told what they want to hear. They need to be told the truth, but the truth in love, the truth in a way that makes them want to seek the God that they have fallen away from, or makes them excited to open up their Bible again and not feel shame or condemnation. And so that's a lot of what I've heard in my previous experience on this topic. And number two, a lot of times it doesn't give practical advice or tips on, like, no, practically speaking, what does this mean? You say open your word, but where do I go? You say pray, but what do I say? And so I want this episode to be a true encouragement from a place of love that does bring about conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only He can do that. I can't do that. But I also want it to be, you leave this episode and you know what you need to do. You know you can apply something that has been shared quickly and evidently. I mean, I was just reading the book of Ezra, and something that stuck out to me was that Haggai and Nehemiah, I think those were the two prophets at the time, they were speaking. And what stuck out to me was that the people responded. And I think that's what I want more than anything, is that I want you to hear the scripture that I'm going to share, the things and the personal experiences. And then my prayer is that you respond to it. You respond to it by praying. You respond to it by journaling. You respond to it by whatever you feel led to do, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. But I pray that you respond to this, and I pray that it leaves you encouraged and inspired. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this, a spiritual funk, a spiritual dry season. Now, maybe you're listening to this and be like, what is that? Because I can tell you, there was a time in my life where I didn't know or didn't think that that could happen to me. And I'll give you, like, I'll kind of paint the picture for you. So, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I have shared multiple times about just how my parents have, they walk the walk, or they talk the talk, but they also walk the walk. And they weren't just people who said one thing but did another. No, they truly lived their lives for God. And so that's the example I had. But I didn't necessarily apply that to myself. And so it was when I came to college that I really started to understand, oh, I need God. Like, I need God for myself. Like, I genuinely, it's not just like this faith that my parents have and I just like co-sign on. No, I need God for myself. I need Jesus Christ for myself. And so I remember when I started to get super excited see, this is why I thought I'd turn my iPad on Do Not Disturb. I'm getting text messages asking if I want to go places and da 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 da. Okay, anyways. So, like I said, I remember my second semester of my freshman year, I went to this Christian conference. I was more on fire for God than I ever had been in my entire life. I mean, I would just like open up the Bible and read like two words and I'm like, ah, Jesus. Like, I'm literally like that. I was so on fire for Him, and I felt like I just loved Him so much. I was so passionate, and I still am these things, and I often do cry when I read the Bible still. However, it was just different. And so I remember going to a Bible study, and there were some girls who were sharing about just difficulty that they had been experiencing in their walk with God. And these were girls who were older than me and a little bit more seasoned. And I was like,
dang, like, I hope that don't happen to me. Shoot, I can't relate. Me and God is good. We cool. We off here chilling. Like, we're, are you kidding me? Never. That could never be me. Could never be me. No. And then lo and behold, life happens. That's all you, I just say, like, sometimes you just need to live life a little bit more. And I'm not saying, I shouldn't say, like, you need to live life a little bit more. Sometimes life just needs to happen to you a little bit more. I remember listening to a sermon series on forgiveness, and I was like, why, like, I'm struggling thinking of who I need to forgive. Do I need to forgive the person who didn't hold the door open for me? Like, is that a deep-rooted, like, grudge that I'm holding? Like, I'm like, why? Genuinely, like, nothing and no one's coming to mind when they're like, I know you need to forgive somebody. There's somebody that's hurt you. And I'm like, I genuinely cannot. I can't recall. I can't think of a single. I'm trying to make up scenarios. Like, oh, yeah, that actually really did bother me. No, I genuinely just hadn't. Life just hadn't happened to me all the way yet, because a few years later I found myself in a scenario where oh this is what it means when you have to choose to forgive. This is what it means when you have to choose to not be bitter. This is what it means. All I had to do was live life a little bit more. And so all that to say, that's what I mean by a spiritual funk, a spiritual dry season. You feel like you're far from the Lord. The reason and the cause behind these things are different for everybody. Sometimes it's people intentionally choosing to turn their backs on God and not open up their word, and then they're suddenly feeling the effects of that. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare and there is demonic interference. Yes, there's a real devil who doesn't want you to open your Bible. There's a real devil who doesn't want you to get on your knees and pray. And so I'm not one of those people who blames everything on Satan, but just know that there is a real devil. Okay, so there's that at play too. There's so many different scenarios. Maybe things happen to you. I know for me, when I walk through this wilderness that I've shared about, I genuinely had never felt further from God. And it was like gut-wrenching, because I'm like, what did I do to deserve this? Why am I doing this? And like I've shared I think on my first episode, you know, I realized that the wilderness is where we actually get to choose God. We actually get to seek him out for ourselves. And, you know, if you didn't, go back and listen to the episode, my very first episode. But basically, where am I even going? Holy Spirit, help me. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So there's so many different reasons, you know, why we walk through dry seasons, get in these spiritual funks. But whatever the reason, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the solution, and Jesus is more than ready to get you out of it. OK, because that's the last thing. Sometimes I've heard, like, I remember sitting and hearing a sermon, and the pastor had a great heart, great friend. I knew him very well. But I'm like, maybe I'm just reading this or listening to this through a lens of offense. So Father, please forgive me. But like, this is really making me feel shame and condemnation for all the times that I felt far from God. And I just know that that's not it. If the enemy can make you think, if he can trick you into believing that God doesn't want to answer you, God doesn't want to be there for you, he's tricked you in believing the biggest lie that ever existed. Jesus did not die. Literally die the most gruesome death and resurrect so that you could be far from him because you didn't read your Bible for a week. No, sorry. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Okay. So I have three more practical things that help me to sort of breach the gap and make up the distance that has seemingly transpired between God and I. And so I want to remind you as we get into this, God doesn't change. The Bible says he does not cast a shifting shadow. If you didn't listen to my God is not a girly pop, go back and listen to episode 3. He does not change. He doesn't switch up. He is innate. He is perfect. Never changing, never moving, never wavering. And so I want to recognize that the distance we feel from God, and, you know, the dryness that we sometimes feel like we're in, or the wilderness we feel like we're walking through, is not because God has changed. Like I said, we change. Our hearts are prone to wander. There is a real enemy who wants you to believe that God doesn't love you anymore. So let's first establish that God didn't change. Things change. People change. The enemy's trying hard as heck to get you away from seeking and knowing the truth. So let's establish that. And now these are three things that I have implemented in my life to help me Or I guess these are three things that I realized over the years have helped me to get out of this spiritual funk. And it may not be like I do this one thing and then 2 seconds later, everything's perfect. No, but this is what helps to begin to make up that space, to breach that gap, and to allow me to continue to pursue Jesus wholeheartedly. Let me remind you something. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Continuing to remain faithful. That is a fruit of the Spirit of God abiding in you. And so you're going to have days where you wake up and you're like, I'm not feeling it. You're going to have days. And let me not speak that over you. You might have had days where you woke up and you're like, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I know I can say that for myself. How about I just speak for myself? I won't speak over you. I'll speak for myself. I have had days where I don't feel like reading my Bible, where I don't feel like getting on my knees and praying. But guess what? Your feelings are not the truth. Your feelings and your emotions are not actually dictating what is real. So let's start there, okay? Let me just dive right in. I feel like I've been doing a lot of yapping. Let me just dive right in. Okay. So first thing that has helped me tremendously when I'm in a dry season, I'm in a spiritual funk, I feel like I'm stuck, this one thing. And this is journaling. Hear me out. Sometimes the silence is so loud, and the only thing that gets me to be able to open up is writing to God. Sometimes I can't even physically speak. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I have nothing to say. Like, I'm trying to get the words to say and it's not coming out. So I'm going to write it into you. I'm going to write it to you instead. Because journaling was a discipline that through this past year and a half of wilderness and, you know, really hard seasons, journaling was a discipline that I actually had abandoned when I felt abandoned by God. And it only made things worse. It only made the wilderness more lonely, more dark, more confusing because I stopped writing to God. And I can speak for myself. I know writing is a gift that God has given me. And it's something that he really does. I utilize to speak to him. And we commune that way. So writing for me, maybe not writing for you, but even if you're not a writer and you're struggling to pray, you're struggling to break the ice with God, get out your pen and paper and start writing. Write out what you're feeling. Write out what you're experiencing. But do something. Let's commune with him. And I think there's something so powerful about pen to paper, because in journaling is especially powerful because it gives you the opportunity to pray and talk to God while self-reflecting simultaneously. And I'll break down what I mean by that by going into how I journal. So how I set up my journal and my journaling time, every time looks different. There's no set outline I'm following, but this is what I've noticed is that I start journaling by immediately sharing what's on my heart, whether that's good or bad. Maybe I'm like, oh my gosh, I went to pizza with my friends and I had my favorite pizza again and like X, Y, and Z. And then I start just like going on. Or sometimes I actually do have a heavy heart and I'm like, I will literally write. I just recently wrote a journal entry where I was like, Lord, these three things are on my heart and I have to write these out physically so I can hand them over to you and then ask you to help me with them. So as I'm writing, I start to process what's going on in my heart. Again, whether good or bad, journaling is not just for when you're going through hard times. I like to journal to remember the good and joyous things and journal gratitude and praise unto God too. And so as I'm journaling, I'm also communing with the Holy Spirit to make sense of what I'm experiencing. Because as I start to write, okay, this thing is really bothering me. I feel like there's something going on with this particular person in my life. And then the Holy Spirit starts bringing things to me. Maybe I'm like, oh, you know, like, do I need to ask for forgiveness or do I need to forgive them for something? Or, you know, as I'm journaling, I'm communing with the Spirit of God to help bring out revelation as I'm pouring out my heart to him, as I'm pouring out myself to him. I'm now emptying myself so I can be filled up with him and his truth, so I can make way, make room for what God has to minister to my heart. Sometimes it feels so hard to get out of a rut, to get out of what we're experiencing, because we are so full of ourselves. We're so full of the pain and the frustration, the shame and the condemnation. We're so full of all of that. We're walking around constipated. Our heart is constipated, full of all this filth. You got poop in your heart. You need to get it out. So write it out on pen and paper. Okay. Write it out. Talk, journal it out. Talk to, you know, I journal in a perspective of talking to God and also kind of talking to myself in a way in which I can reflect back on and see and witness the faithfulness of God and remember what I was going through in that season and see how God intervened, see how I handed that over to God and he did his thing with it. So let me, okay, ooh, he did his thing with it. Why does sometimes that little ghetto come out of me sometimes? Okay, anyways. So where is it at? Okay. And then sometimes my journaling looks like a psalm. If I could recommend anything to you right now, it's read one chapter of Psalm a day for 150 days straight. And you will see how David and the psalmists are just laying it all out before God. I love, there's a psalm where David's like, my sin piles so high, I can't even see my way out. I'm like, that part, like, sometimes you just got to lay it all out. And so when I journal, one thing that I do is that I always end my journal entry with a prayer. Sometimes the prayer is 2 pages long, sometimes it's 2 sentences, but I always, the period, the ending sentence, the ending little dot of my journal entry is always going to be a prayer. I'm always going to pray to God because I've just emptied out, whether it be good or bad, I've emptied myself out. I've shared my heart. I've been able to process and self-reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to bring me to truth and revelation and knowledge. And now I'm going to hand it over to God. Now I'm giving it over to God. Now I'm giving thanks to God. Because sometimes it's a prayer of surrender. Sometimes it's a prayer of giving thanks. Sometimes it's a prayer of asking for wisdom and guidance. Sometimes it's all three of them. But whatever it is, I write them with the intention and confidence that I will look back on them and see the faithfulness of God. And I have to say, after I journal, usually after, there is just a release. Again, it's like journaling. I don't know why what this poop analogy is, but a lot of times my heart will be constipated. And when I journal, it is like the laxative my heart needed. I'm journaling. I'm writing it all out. My heart's going... Okay, please, Leah. Okay, let's go. Okay. So anyways, like I said, after that, there's such a release. And then usually after I'm journaling, I'm led to scripture. Or I'll just lay there and I'll worship. But it's like pouring it all out before him allows me to be emptied so I can be filled up with him again. So I can be filled up with him again. And so a lot of times journaling is one of the first things I'll do when I feel far from God. And actually, I brought my journal. Give you a little glimpse into my life. So this is a journal entry. Okay, excuse me. It went to the wrong page. This is a journal entry. Hello? Okay, here it is. So this is a journal entry from literally a few days ago. And I'm going to just share a little bit of what that looked like. And yeah, kind of give you a glimpse into how I journal. And again, this is not everything. This is an excerpt. So this isn't the beginning or the end. This is a middle portion of a journal entry from about a week ago. And so I'm just going to share what I wrote and be real and honest with you guys. It says, there are days where I sense his closeness and feel him near. Then there are others, like today, where he didn't feel close, but he doesn't feel far. Just kind of neutral, like an onlooker who sees and knows all, but not actively involved or engaged. It's moments like that where my heart is reminded of the verse in Hebrews that says, God doesn't even relax his grip, let alone let us out of his hands. I have the truth for every lie and the antidote to poison right at my fingertips, and I'm choosing not to partake. And so basically what I was saying is I was journaling about how I knew I needed to continue to open up the word of God. And a lot of times I would journal to encourage myself. As I'm journaling, I'm encouraging my own self. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't need, you know, sometimes I think we're looking for other people to get encouragement from. Baby, you could start right here with you. I was on my way to the grocery store last night and I was feeling down about a situation and just frustrated by a circumstance. And I said, you know what? What? Who am I talking to? Girl, if you don't minister to yourself, if you don't speak and say absolutely not, you can't have me. I know what my God says. So journaling, like I said, leads me a lot of times. It encourages me. And so that verse in Hebrews that I'm talking about is Hebrews 13:5. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, the Amplified translation. I really enjoy this translation when I'm trying to really study and get to the meat and potatoes behind the scripture, because The Amplified is very similar to the New King James, I'd say, in being a word-for-word translation, but it is it includes parentheses to sort of further explain within the text. And it's literally like you're reading with definitions, like as you're reading. And so this is Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified. It says, "Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature, be free from the love of money. Shun greed. Be financially ethical, being content with what you have. For as he has said, I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not." And so obviously that's God. We're talking about God. God has said he will never under any circumstances desert you. He's never going to leave you without support. He's never going to leave you helpless. And how much so that he's not even going to forsake you. He's not even going to leave you. He has a grip on you. He has his hand on you, and it's not even being relaxed. He's holding it. He's steady. He's not moving. He's not even relaxing his hand. You know when you're holding on something and you're like, all right, like I need to let go of this. Or you're trying to open up a bottle and your hand starts to get sore. No. He's not relaxing his grip on you as tight as it was from day one. He's rocking with you, okay? So don't let the enemy convince you that he's not. Go to the word of God. You have the antidote for the poison the enemy's trying to feed you. For the poison those thoughts are trying to feed you. You have the antidote. You have the truth to combat every single lie. Go to the word of God. And so a lot of times that's what journaling will do for me. It stirs me up. It gets my heart and my spirit wondering and searching and seeking. And then I'm oftentimes led to the word of God. And so I want to encourage you, practical tip number one, journal, write it all out. Now, another way of breaking the ice before God, I say breaking the ice because sometimes it feels like it's been so long, you don't even know what to say. You don't even know if he wants you back. Yes, he does. Hello, he's waiting for you ever so patiently, lovingly, just can't wait to commune with you. Can't wait to sit and talk to you. And so these are breaking the ice. This is what I mean. We're breaking the ice, okay? So another thing that I noticed actually really helps is to pray for other people first. Communing with God is still communing with God, even if it's on behalf of someone else. And so sometimes it feels like I haven't prayed in a while, or sometimes it feels like I haven't really had intentional time with him. I'll start praying for somebody else because I'm still talking to him. I'm still communing with him. He's still hearing me. I still have the faith to believe that he's hearing what I'm saying. I'm just not talking about myself right now. And I've done this before. I'll be doing the dishes and I'll think of somebody and I'm doing the dishes. I'm like, I know I should start praying. I should really start. And, you know, I'm like, what should I even say? Da, da, da. And then I just start praying for somebody else. He hears me. I'm still talking to him. But in matter of fact, how beautiful is it? I'm not even talking about myself. We'll get to me later. We'll get to me in a minute, but I'm praying for somebody else because Philippians 2:3-5 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then it goes on to say, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. Oh, okay, bars, Aaliyah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anyways, but it goes on to say, basically, he was God himself. And he humbled himself. So you have that same attitude. You're not God, sweetie. Baby, we are nowhere near equal with God. I'll tell you that right now. We're made in his image, but we are not equal. So the fact that God can come down and become a slave, how much more do you need to be humble? How much more do we need to humble ourselves and put others before ourselves? And so I say all that to say, pray for somebody else. You don't have to sit up here and pray. Because again, sometimes that shame and that condemnation will get in your head. Oh, he don't want to talk to you. He don't want to hear from you. You think he want to talk to you about that? You think he care about that? He does. He does. I'm there to silence the voice of the enemy. He does. Okay. But sometimes maybe it needs to start with praying for somebody else. That's helped me. I've done it numerous times. I recently noticed that it's something that I did. Was like, oh, sometimes I'll just pray for somebody else. Get in the groove, get my spirit in a heart, in a position, in a heart posture to be in communion with him. And then I pray for other people and then it'll come up to me. And then I'll start, you know, being like, Lord, forgive me, you know, and that leads me to my third thing, which is repent. Now, this is a word that I think has been maybe abused over all of the years. Repent means to turn from your ways. It doesn't mean that you run out in the streets butt naked being like, I repent. Sometimes people make you think that. Sometimes people make you think that repentance means you get on a stage in a platform of millions of people listening to you and saying, I did X, Y, and Z. Lord, please forgive me. No. Lord, no. Repentance is between you and God. And it's truly inward first. It's turning from that old way. It's turning from the thing that made him, that grieved his heart. It's turning your back on that so that your heart is turned toward him. And so a lot of times when we think about drawing near to God or getting close to God, good old James 4:8 comes to mind. I love that verse. And I have sent that verse to so many people who have reached out to me about feeling far from God and not knowing where to start. I've sent James 4:8, which if you don't know, it says, come close to God and God will come close to you, or draw near to God and God will draw near to you. However, as I was preparing for this episode, I'm like, there's a whole nother sentence after that, and it's still verse 8. And let's also look at verse 7 before that. Let's get the full picture in the context of this draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Okay, so verse 7, before even we get to drawing near to God, it says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then it goes on to say, come close to God and God will come close to you. Then verse 8 still says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And then verse 9 goes on and even says, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. And so, I think that was also verse 10 in there too, my bad. But anyways, the whole reason why I wanted to give you the full scope of those scriptures is because we have to understand that when we're drawing near to God, who are we drawing away from? The enemy. Verse 7, we're resisting the devil and he's fleeing. So again, there is a real enemy, okay? There is a real devil who wants you to have space, who wants you to flee, who wants you to run from God, who wants you to turn your back on God, who wants you to not open up your Bible, who wants you to scroll social media first thing in the morning. There's a real active enemy who wants you to do these things, okay? So let's resist the devil, allow him to flee. Because it says he will flee from you when you resist. But then once the devil flees, where do you go? You come close to God and God comes close to you. And then that's where, when God comes near, that is where you then wash your hands. That is where your heart becomes purified. Because your loyalty was once divided between God and the world, but it's not anymore because you've drawn near and God has drawn near. And so when verse 9 and 10 goes on to say, let there be tears and sorrow and deep grief and joy, and gloom instead of joy, it's not saying to be like, it's not saying that you need to walk around for the rest of your life just like, oh my God, I can't believe I sinned against God like that. Like, it's not there. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that's the heart we should have for the sin that God hates, the things that we have done wrong. It should grieve us to grieve God's heart. It should bring us gloom instead of joy to do something that sins against our perfect and living God who did everything he could to bring us back to him. It should cause you to feel that way. But it's not saying stay that way. Okay? It's not saying stay that way. We're not going to walk around full of gloom because of past sin. We're not. No. New creation. Absolutely free. Your sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Okay? And so let's talk about drawing near to God. Because if we're drawing near, that means that there was separation. What was the reason for this separation to begin with? It was sin. Sin is separation from God. And so God is able to draw near when there's no sin separating us from him. There's no unrepentant sin separating us from him. And so that is why he sent his son, so that there would never have to be separation again. Not that there won't be, but there doesn't have to be. Through faith in Jesus and repentance of sin. And so Romans tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think it's Romans 8. Nothing separates us from God's love. Neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons. Literally nothing separates us from God's love. And so we're never separated from God's love. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, they were banished from the garden and separated from his presence. separated from that perfect presence, but never his love. Never, never, never his love. Let's get something straight. They were removed from the garden, but they weren't removed from his love. Mm-mm. No. Where in the Bible can you find that God said, I didn't love you anymore? I don't love you anymore. His people. Where can you find him? You can't. Okay. So wow. 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Okay. I'm closing here. But yes. So those are the three things that I have to say have helped me to get out of spiritual funk by breaking the ice. That's the biggest part, is breaking the ice with God sometimes when it's been so long. Where do I go? What do I do? Where do I go? And so journaling, praying for others first, and then start praying for yourself. And then number three, obviously, repentance. Okay, and then I want to say about repentance really quick is that I've noticed as I've grown in my walk with God and grown closer to the Lord over the years, sometimes the sin you're repenting for is that the tiniest little thing, but you didn't realize it's actually like messing with your heart. Like it used to be like, I'm not going to lie, like in college, I'd be like, oh Lord, like forgive me for getting drunk. I shouldn't have had all those shots, Lord. Like, you know, that was me in college. But now it's turned into, oh my gosh, Lord, forgive me for that thing I said. That one tiny thing that I said that I know was not glorifying or pleasing and honoring to you. You know, forgive me for, you know, not being kind when my brother said good morning this morning. You know, like just it's so let's be clear. I think sometimes we think about sin. We think of these big things. Lord, thank you. Lord, forgive me for running over my neighbor's dog. You know, like the big things. But it's little. As you get closer, you realize it's little things. It's the little tiny things that the enemy will try to plant seeds in your head. So let's ask for forgiveness. Let's draw near so that God can draw near to us, okay? And so lastly, what I want to close with is what you hear all the time when you are in a spiritual funk. These are the three things people will tell you to do. Read your Bible, pray, and praise, and worship. Okay, that's great, but why and how should I be doing these things? Again, this was a practical episode, the practicalities behind these things, okay? And so first, read your Bible. Read your Bible just as you would eat food. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And Satan says, I know you're hungry. You've been fasting all these days. Why don't you, you know, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread and eat something for yourself? But Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I've said this before, we were created by the word of God. He spoke man into existence, and we will be sustained by the word of God. And last week, actually, at church, my pastor was talking about the importance of staying in the word and just putting it before our eyes and feasting before it continually as you would food. You know those days when you're so busy and you're like, oh my gosh, and you start to get a headache and lightheaded and you're like, what's going on? It's like, oh, because the only thing I had today was literally a cup of coffee. Yeah, you need some sustenance. You need to satiate your body. It's the same thing with the word of God. Sometimes we're eating because we know we need to eat. There's sometimes where I'm like scarfing down some plain Greek yogurt with no berries or maple syrup, just plain, because I know I need something on my stomach or else I'm not going to feel good. And it's the same, if not more, spiritually. Sometimes you need to get, you know, you wake up in the morning, you hit the toilet. It's November 2nd. Go open up Proverbs 2. Read the second chapter of Proverbs. Get the word of God before your eyes, like you need food, you know? I actually started a discipline. I remember last year, I started doing this thing where every time I ate, I was reading the Bible. Because I'm like, I'm going to eat. I'm going to nourish myself physically. I'm going to nourish myself spiritually as well. So breakfast with the word of God. A snack with the word of God. Lunch with the word of God. Dinner with the word of God. And that really helped me to understand. And you start to realize just how much you need the word. The more you start reading the word, the more you realize you actually need it. I'm at a point now where I'm like, I am not me if I don't crack open this Bible, bro. I am not me. I don't like who I am without the word of God. Because it's not me. Okay? So, anyways, read your Bible. But I'm not going to be one of those people to tell you, just read your Bible. Why? Because you need it to survive. And I'm not just saying that. Baby, I love you. I want you to be nourished. I want you to grow strong. You need to read your Bible, sweetheart. Okay? You need to read your Bible. All right? And then pray. Pray just as you would take a breath. Now, how many of y'all have survived with not breathing? The answer is zero. Everybody on planet Earth right now that is alive is breathing. And so just as you take a breath, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to be unceasing and persistent in prayer. Just as your lungs, just as they have been, just as they have been unceasing and persistent in keeping you alive and bringing air into your body, this whole episode you've been listening to, just as they have been persistent is how we ought to be persistent and unceasing in prayer. Just as you breathe. And I'm not saying that means every second, every day you're praying. I'm not saying, like, obviously this whole time I haven't been praying. I've been talking to you. But guess what? I've been dependent on the Spirit of God this entire time to bring forth these words to you. And so prayer really starts and ends and begins with dependency on the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. Prayer reminds you of your need for Him. You can't do anything without Him. Okay? Newsflash. You can't. So pray. Why? Because you need it to survive. Just like you need breath in your lungs, you need to pray and commune with the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. And lastly, praise. Praise God. Just as you would make a sacrifice for the one you loved. Now, there are often times we do things we don't feel like doing, but we know that it's good for us. But we also, more importantly, we do things that we know are good for somebody else. And so the reason why I say as a sacrifice, Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And so it was a few months back when I realized I was reading Hebrews and I'm like, a sacrifice of praise? Wait, sacrifices don't always feel good. Wait, maybe that explains why I don't feel like doing this right now. It doesn't feel when you're in a wilderness, everything is dark and cold and you feel alone. You don't really think that there are things to praise God for, but there are. And it's actually in those moments that your praise is a sacrifice, a sweet and pleasing aroma unto God. So you praise God. Why? Because you know that He, you know that it ministers to Him. And that's the biggest thing. All of this, a lot of this, your feelings, that's the biggest things, our emotions. We cannot allow our emotions to dictate how we serve God. Okay? Because early on, I was like, of course I want to serve God. Of course I want to do this. I love Him so much. He makes me so happy and everything's perfect. And then something happens and you're like, I don't feel like doing this. And then you start to feel like, because you don't feel like it anymore, it's not genuine. But no, baby, I'm telling you, it's the most genuine when you don't feel like it, because you're choosing to do it still. Okay? So we praise God. Why? Just as you would as a sacrifice for the one that you loved. He's already sacrificed His Son for you. When I think about the sacrifice of Jesus, I think about how it says that He was beaten beyond recognition. How He didn't even look like a human being. So if Jesus would go through that for me, I can say, Lord, I thank You for waking me up this morning, even when I didn't want to get out of bed. I can say, Lord, I thank You for putting breath in my lungs. I can say, God, I thank You for this meal. I can say, God, I praise You for allowing me to be in this situation, in this circumstance, because I know it's going to bring You glory. If Jesus paid the ultimate price, I can say thank You. I can offer up praise and thanksgiving. That's the least I could do. Whew, all right. So anyways, I'm wiping my tears real quick. Yeah, I'm going to end it right here. But I really pray that you got something out of this, that
you know, maybe you're in the season where you feel so, so close to God and you didn't even feel like you needed this. Well, then tuck it in your back pocket and give it to a friend who may be going through something difficult. Send this to a friend who may be in a dry season or in a place of just weird, feeling weirdness with the Lord, okay? So yeah, I love you. Every person listening, I love you so much. And I love God and I love His word. And I believe in His power to transform and save our lives. I believe that we are not really who we are without Him. He created us. So how can we be who we were created to be apart from the one who created us? We can't. But I know that when I'm with Him, when I'm in His word, when I'm communing with Him, when I'm talking to Him, I am exactly who I was created to be. And I'm doing exactly what I was made to do. And so I just want to encourage you that you can break the ice. It doesn't matter how long it's been. I don't care if it's been 4 years since you opened your Bible. I don't care. Break the ice with Him. Journal to Him. Write Him a love letter. Write Him a note. Pray. Start praying for somebody else. And then it can lead into prayer for yourself. And then repent. It can lead to repentance. And again, the repentance might not be the big thing, might not be the big sin struggle that you used to have. Maybe it's something small or seemingly small, because sin is sin. I'm not minimizing sin. Okay. I'm hungry. I've only had cottage cheese and a banana and peanut butter today, and it is 3:07 p.m. I did sleep in longer today, though, so I didn't go to bed till like about 10:30. It's Saturday. It's my Sabbath. So, anyways, I'm going to go get something to eat, and I pray that you go get something to eat in the Word of God. Okay. All right. I love you guys. Bye. Mwah. Kisses. Thank you.